some time on the Gemara, on the Peyamad Aleph, Peyamad Beis, Rish Lokesh's din, Chazoka Ein Adam Pareya Tochs Manai, that's not considered Kofer HaKol. Why it's not considered Kofer HaKol? Because the Rav is that it's not true. Chazoka means Aruba Deleisa Kamim. The chazok is, the likelihood is that I let him be leavened with a migu. So that's a shaila, the last two lines on Hamlet base. That's in Ibai's Lev Shita. But he could have said, Paraiti lachazman, he could have said, lo lavis, he could have said, lo kabaitazman, he could have said different things. So these said migu, that's contradicted by this ruba de leisa kamon, is good and no good, so that's a shaila. Okay. So Taisvus here discusses a little bit the Taisvus Yom HaMaschov Gehech Delo Letardon on Hamid Beis. Taisvus is giving explanations why Ein Onim Pareya Toch Zman. What's the psychology of why would a person not want to pay Toch HaZman? Our Gemara is talking about a Halvor. A Halvor L'Zman HaKaveh Zman L'Chaveh by a Halvor. But Taisvus is talking about the Gemara in the end of Bar Metzia. Well, it's not a halvor, it's a schiris batim. He rented an apartment. So Medina de Gemara, schiris ain't a mishtalem and sell it lebesof. The chiyuv to pay the rental is at the end of the month. In America, the assumption is not so. The obligation is, it's understood, you have to pay at the beginning of the month. If you don't pay it by the end, by the 5th or the 10th of the month, they'll give you a penalty. Whatever. But Medina de Gemara, schiris ain't a mishtalem and sell it lebesof. And the psychology is that most people will not pay Toch HaZman. They will not pay till it comes the end of the month. Why? So Tosis says on the fourth white line, Chen Socher, one who rents an apartment, the likelihood is he will not pay Toch HaZman. Shema Yipol Beisu Shal HaMaskir. Maybe the landlord's house will collapse. We'd start Chaser HaLot says, and the tenant will have to move out because that's the halacha. The La'odiv Minei. That's the Loshan Agamars on the side. They tell you where this is. Yesterday, I read wrong. I read the wrong Maramokam. I read the Shavuos Daf Mem Aleph. That's letter A. This is a letter Ches. It's not the Shavuos. I didn't remember it from Shavuos. It's not the Shavuos at all. This is the letter Ches, which is in Bob Metzia Daf Kuf Aleph on the base. That's Tosis is quoting the Gemara. That's the din. If the landlord's house falls down, he can evict the tenant in order to have a house to live, even though the tenant didn't violate any of the conditions of the contract. He's not in violation of anything. Here in America, here in the neighborhood, probably all over America, whenever they rent you an apartment, they put in so many clauses in the contract that they know everybody's in violation of some of them. You can't hook up a dishwasher or a washing machine to the kitchen sink. Everybody does that. They put in something, they know that everyone's going to violate it, so whenever they want to, they can kick you out of the apartment because they know that you violated some of the conditions of the contract. That's the shtick that they do in America. But Medina de Gemara, that's the din. So from Taisus, it would appear that this din applies even if I rent you an apartment, I give you a 2-year lease, even within the 2 years, if the landlord's house burns down, it collapses, in vehicle, basis shalom maskir, it's tarcha sechalot de lo alif minei. In the back of the Gemara, they have ha'oris, I think the Cheshek Shlomo from Abshlomo le Vilna. He was one of the dayanim in Vilna when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the magia. I mentioned several times. He was the magia. Oh, here you can't find any. Okay. He was the magia on the Vilna Shas. His grandson used to teach here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Markelis. So he told the students when he taught here that his grandfather corrected the galleys when they were printing, when they set the type for the Vilna Shas, he corrected the galleys balpeh. He remembered the Gemara, the Rashi and Tosfos balpeh. He didn't have to check against another edition of the Gemara because he knew every word balpeh. Interesting. So that's what I added on, that once in a while there's a mistake in the Vilna Shas that doesn't appear in any other edition because he did everything balpeh. So in the back of the Gemara, they have a ha'orah. The Rav Shlomo le Vilna is surprised that if you look in that Gemara, that Gemara is in Bav Metzia Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, There, but Matir Kufalaf and Beis Kuf Beis Amanav. The Gemara says when I rent an apartment to a tenant, who is obligated to put in the fixtures, the electrical lights? Who's obligated to put in the windows? Who's obligated to put in the screens? Who's obligated to put in the mezuzah? All the thing, every step by step, each thing, who's obligated? Is it the landlord's obligation or the tenant's obligation? So the Gemara has at the beginning of the whole Gemara, Kufala from the base, that the Gemara has also a discussion there. Chatzer shalodim koina lo shalom midata. Dovish al hefka falls into a chatzer, so the owner of the chatzer is koina, even if he doesn't even know that it fell into the chatzer. So there is a question, who's koina? If a dovish al hefka falls in the landlord or the tenant? Shailin halacha lamaisa, who's koina? So there are a lot of dinim about renting apartments. So Rashi writes on that Gemara, when the Gemara says if the home of the landlord collapses, he can evict the tenant, even though the tenant didn't violate any conditions of the contract. Because the li'odif minei, it can't be that he has more schusim than thee. That's the Loshon HaGemara. The landlord says, what? He has the right to live in the apartment. I have to go buy another house. It can't be. So he points out that he's surprised that Rashi on that Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Nafal Beso Shal Maskir, he can evict the tenant if it's Achazman. If he gave him a 2-year lease, so in the middle of the 2 years, if the house of the landlord falls down, he can't evict the tenant. But if the tenant, he starts to stay for longer than 2 years, and it's self-understood, it's the same conditions, unless the landlord charges him more rent or whatever, unless they agree to change it. So if he stays longer than the contract, then he can evict him if his house falls down. But during the period of the contract, he can't evict him. That's what Rashi writes on the Gemara. And they have on the side, in the margin there, on the side of the Gemara, they have He'oris written supposedly by the Vilna Gaon in his handwriting. So Vilna Gaon said that that's correct. What Rashi said is correct. So that's what Reb Shlomo Le Vilna says. He's surprised over here. The Tosfos writes it as if in all cases, if the landlord's house shem yipol beisu shal maskir can always evict the tenant, that's only lachazma. It's not techazma. He's surprised at that there. So this is a very important issue. It's nager lahalocha as follows. There is a pasuk in Chumash that says, Lo sovi so'eva el beisecha. What's the definition of a so'eva? What's something that's abominable and disgusting? So the Mishnah understands that it means avodah zarah. So maybe the pasuk pshat is a Jew who owns a house is not allowed to bring avodah zarah into his house. Lo sovi so'eva el beisecha. Okay. What if I have a plumber who comes to the carpenter who comes to fix something, or the comic to lay carpets or something, or to fix the curtains, and he comes in with an avodah zarah, not a crucifix that's a representation of his religion. No, a crucifix that he deifies, that he worships, an actual avodah zarah, not just a religious symbol. A dovish, an avodah zarah mamish. That's also banom. When we say avodah zarah, it's also banom, means the avodah zarah itself, the thing that they deify, is also banom. A painting of the birth of Yoshke, that's not avodah zarah. Nobody worships the painting. But if someone does worship the painting, then it's called avodah zarah. So the Mishnah says in the end of the first perek in avodah zarah, the Mishnah is on chof on the base and avodah zarah, the last line chof on the base going over to chof aleph on the aleph, that it's prohibited even to allow a non-Jew to bring in his avodah zarah into my house. So let's start to say, but Beisach, it doesn't only apply if the Jew, the owner of the house, brings in the avodah zarah for some reason or another. He may not let the nochri bring avodah zarah into his house. So the question is it permissive that's given in the Mishnah? Is that also deraisa? Maybe that's only with the Rabbanim. Maybe the issa deraisa is only lo sovi so'eva if the Jew who owns the house brings in the avodah zarah. But if the goyish worker brings in, maybe there's no issa deraisa, but it's clear from the mission that it's also the Rabbanim. Let's say I have work done in Chol HaMoed Pesach. Usually you should avoid that. But let's say the house is falling apart and I have goyish workers are coming in and they brought their chametz dikah tray for sandwiches with them. So that's not my problem. There's no bayirah by motzeh. Chem tushon ocher b'shus ha'yisrael. Unless kibbol olav achrayis. I'm not mekabel achrayis. So it's not my responsibility. That's not my yisrael. That's not a problem. But if the nochri is going to come in with his avodah zarah that he deifies, that he worships, that is my problem. Tosis has a shaila that maybe it's only an issim of the rabban, because maybe the pasuk only goes when the Jew brings it in. Okay, the Tosis is here on Chof Aleph Omer Aleph, the bottom Tosis Dibar Maskil Af B'Mokim She'omru. The parak ends on Chof Beis Omer Aleph. There's a mamish next to the last daf in the first pair. So Tosis and the Rosh raise the possibility maybe if the Nochri brings it in, maybe it's only an Issa Derabban, but still an Issa. Then the Mishnah has a Shaila, what if I rent an apartment to a Nochri? There are many Jewish landlords in New York City who rent apartments to non-Jews. My landlord used to be a religious Jew. Two landlords. One landlord, then one was a big supporter of YU, so he never gave me a raise, an increase for many years, for 30 years. And then he sold the building to someone who supports Aguda, so he wasn't interested in supporting YU, so he increased my... he had the right... The previous landlord had the right to increase it, and he didn't. And then the new one increased it. He gives his charity to other institutions. Okay. Also a big Baal Stoker. Both of them were big Baal Stoker. So the Mishnah says, you're not permitted to rent an apartment to a Nochri if he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, because the Nochri will bring in his Avodah Zarah that he worships. So Tosfos, maybe it's only Nisa de Rabbanan. Okay. So Tosfos here raises a question. Yesh lefakteg al meh hayu somchim b'nei Adam. I can't read without my reading. I need a better pair of glasses. Tosfos in the Rosh, all the Mishnayim asked, the common practice was that Jews owned real estate in Europe, and they did rent out apartments to Nochem who were of the Avodah Zarah, and whenever a baby would be born or someone would die or someone would be on their deathbed, so they would bring in an Avodah Zarah that they used to deify, they used to worship. So Maisim B'chol Yom that they did it. So Al Mesaimchem, what do they rely on? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to. So Tosfos gives different suggestions, what they rely on. So this issue is quoted in Yerudeim. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Din, and then the Ramah quotes Al Me Onu Samchem. The Ramah there quotes. So the Shach there, it's the end of Simen Kuf Nun Aleph. That's what it says in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. In Simen Kuf Nun Aleph, it's a short Simen in Yerudeim, in the Little Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So the Shach there says, we follow the view that the Rosh says over here. The Rosh says, the end of the Balei HaTosis is the Rosh. There were yeshivas in Europe centuries ago where they learned Gemara, Rashi, and the Rosh. Instead of learning Tosfos, they learned the Rosh. Because the Rosh gives you the tamtzis of what Tosfos says, and he gives you the maskana halacha l'maaseh. A lot of times Tosfos has a pilpul, they're not sure, like we discussed yesterday. Afilu miyasmi, on Hamad Beis, Tosfos goes back and forth. Whether it's only Yisayim G'dolim or even Yisayim K'tanim. So the Rosh usually will quote the issue and it'll give you the one side, the maskon. It'll bring, sometimes it brings more rayas than Tosfos sometimes. The abridges sometimes brings less rayas. So the Rosh to the Shach writes, he thinks we should paskin that it's mutter, that was the practice, because of the following reason. The Gemara raises a question in the first parak on Avodah, earlier in the parak. Why is it prohibited to rent an apartment? The Mishnah said you're not permitted to rent an apartment to a Nochri, Ovid Avodah Zarah, Neishe Machnes L'Toich Avodah Zarah. But if I rent him the apartment, what if I sell the house to a Goy? I sell the house to a Goy, and then he brings in Avodah Zarah. So that's not my violation. It's based on Shalag Goy. It's not my violation. In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to sell a house to a Goy. That's a different than the Mishnah. The Mishnahs were composed in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a pasuk in Chumash Lo Sechonim. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Amud Aleph, has three levels of interpretation in that pasuk Lo Sechonim. One, Miloshen Chayin, Lo Yisachayin Be'enechem, you're not permitted to praise a Nochri Ovid Avodah Zarah. One, Miloshen Chinam, you're not permitted to give a Matnas Chinam to a Nochri. And the third, Pshat, Miloshen Chanoi, L'sit Lam Chanoi Be'karka, you're not permitted to rent a, to sell a house to a nochri in Eretz Yisrael, or to rent a house to a nochri in Eretz Yisrael. That's lo sechanim. That's a different issue. But let's say in chutz lords. In chutz lords. So if I'll sell a house to a nochri, there's no iser loy savi seivel beisecha. It's basil shalagoy. So the Gemara raises the question, why does the Mishnah assume on Chof Aleph, what do we say it was again? The bottom line on Daf Chof Amid Beis, the bottom line Chof Amid Beis going over to Chof Amid Aleph, the last Mishnah in the first pair. Why does it say in the Mishnah you're not permitted to rent a house to a Nachri over the Zara because the landlord will be in violation of the service of the Beisach? I'm renting it to the Goy. He's paying money for it. So it's Beis Hoshal HaGoy. It's not Beis Hoshal HaLandlord. It's Beis Hoshal HaTenant. So why is the landlord in violation of the Issa? So the Gemara said, you see from the Mishnah, that's Chiras Lo Kanya. When the landlord rents an apartment to a tenant, it's not called Beis Hoshal HaTenant. It's called Beis Hoshal HaLandlord. So therefore, the landlord is in violation, just like if I have a worker who's laying the carpets or fixing the windows or something, and he brings in his Avodah Zarah with him. So it's the violation of the landlord. So even if the landlord, the Jewish religious landlord, rents the apartment to the Nochri Avodah Zarah, brings in the Avodah Zarah, that's the landlord's violation. It's not Beis Hoshel HaTenen, it's Schiras Lo Kanya. It's called Beis Hoshel HaLandlord. So the Rosh writes over here, and the Shach thinks that's the Halacha. The reason why the minig in Europe was that the Baal HaTosis owned real estate and used to rent the Nochrim who owed the Avodah Zarah, and they were machnis l'toch Avodah Zarah, they would bring in the pesel, the lilim that they used to deify, is because even though Medina de Gemara, Tosis quotes this Gemara from Bab Metzia Kuf Aleph on the base, if Nafal Beso Shal Hamaskir, then he can evict the tenant. That's only if you have the Jewish government running the country. But if you live Bein HaNochrim, so they follow Dina the Machusa Dina. So in Dina the Machusa, the landlord cannot evict the tenant just because the landlord's house collapsed. So since the landlord cannot evict, therefore we say Schiris is Kanya. Therefore we say Schiris is Memka LeYoyma. It's considered as if I sold the house to the Nochri, and the landlord is not in violation of Lasabis El Beisecha. It's Beis Hoshel HaGoy. It's not like, just like if he would have sold the house to the Goy. There's no violation. That's in Chutzlots. And so it's a violation of Lasacharim. But in Chutzlots, he can sell real estate to the Nochri. Even though he's going to bring it up with his own, it's going to be Beis Hoshel HaGoy. So even if you rent it to the Nochri, if the din would have been, if they would have followed the din of the Gemara, that if not all Beis Hoshel HaMaskir, then the maskir can evict the tenant. Then and only then do you apply this rule in the Gemara that schiras lo kanya, and the landlord is still in violation of the iser. But since we live bein anochrim, if an issue will come up, the landlord's house will collapse, the goyish government will not paskin like that, that the tenant has to move out and give the apartment back to the landlord. So therefore, schiras is kanya. So since Chiris Kanya, so therefore the landlord who rents the house to the Goy is like selling a house to the Goy. So he's not in violation of the love service of El Beisecha, it's Beis Hoshel HaGoy. That's what the Shach writes in Yerudei. We pass him like the Rosh, who says like that. So there is a very fascinating Chiddush that Rav Shach has. Rav Shach has for him on the Rambam. So he has the following Chiddush. I used to say this on my own, but now I saw Rav Shach says it, so I'll pin the blame on him. What I have to say in my name. So the Tosfos, we have a din in the Gemara, in different Masechtos, that if you rent an apartment in Chutz Lords, you're not chayv in mezuzah till lachal lamed yom. The first 30 days, you're not chayv in mezuzah, after lamed yom, you're chayv in mezuzah. The Rishonim have a machloikas, what if I rented the apartment with a 2-year lease? I didn't live there for 30 days yet, but I rented it for more than 30 days. I'm not renting it week by week. If you rent it week by week, so then the din and the Gemara certainly apply. You're not chayv to put a mezuzah in chutz lords, so a bais b'chutz lords, you're not chayv to put a mezuzah to left the lamed yom. What if I signed a lease for 2 years, and I only lived there for 3 weeks, but I plan to live there for 2 years? So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim say, since you have a lease, that's longer than a month. You write mezuzah from day number one. And the Beis Halevi has in his little Sefer HaChumash on Bereishis and Shmos, he has a few pages, but he goes through certain details in Hilchas Mezuzah. He recommends we should be choshish for that opinion. And if you rent an apartment for longer than a month, you should put up the mezuzah right away from day number one. Other Achronim are not happy about that, because the other Rishonim say the Feirish not so. Even if you rent it for more than 30 days, you're not chayv in mezuzah till Yom Lamed Aleph. So they say maybe it'll be a bracha levatol. Maybe you're not allowed it. Maybe you're not mechuyv in mezuzah toch lamed yom, and it'll be a bracha levatol. And maybe it'll be tasev lo min ha'asui. That the Menchas Chinuch raises that possibility. Menchas Chinuch raises the possibility that maybe if you put the mezuzah within 30 days, then when it comes Yom Laman Aleph, it's Tassel Laman Aleph, but you have to take down the mezuzah and put it up again. So when someone mentioned it to Rav Soloveitchik, he burst into laughter. He thought it was a big joke. Then after thinking about it for a few minutes, he said, maybe it is right. He stopped laughing. He said, maybe it is correct. Maybe it is Tassel. I have to discuss it right now. So that's a din in the Gemara, that if you rent an apartment in Chutz Lorets, so the Kol Lamed Yom Hasecha Bais B'Chutz Lorets, Kol Lamed Yom and Hatchai B'Mezuzah, Achal Lamed Yom B'Chai B'Mezuzah. So Tosis wants to know, why is that din so? If you buy a house, you Chai B'Mezuzah day number one when you move into the house. So why is it if you rent it, how come you're not Chai B'Mezuzah until after Lamed Yom? So Tosis and a few Mesichtas has 2 days. So one day is that if you rent an apartment, the Chai B'Mezuzah is Min HaTorah. But you're only chayv in mezuzah if it's a diras keva. If it's a diras aroy, the Gemara says you're not chayv. In fact, what about sukkah sachag b'chag? A person has a sukkah that he lives in on sukkahs, the 7 days of sukkahs. Is he chayv to have a mezuzah? So on the first daf in Masech HaSukkah, the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and Hachamim, whether the sukkah has to dafke be diras keva, the sukkah has to be dafke diras aroy. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it has to dafke be diras keva. And the Chacham Hol has to be Dafke Diras Aroy. So that's what the Orach Laner points out on the first Daf in Sukkah. He says 98% of all the Sukkahs in the world, all the normal Sukkahs are good. But it's a major Machlekes HaTanaim. Why? Rabbi Yehuda says because all those Sukkahs, he labels them as Diras Keva. And we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We say they're good because we label them as Diras Aroy. 1% of the Sukkahs in the world are absolutely Diras Keva. So we would paskin that it's puzzle. Rabbi Yehuda said, that's marvelous. It's supposed to be diras keva. And 1% of all the sukkahs in the world are absolutely diras aroi. So Rabbi Yehuda will say that those are puzzle. Let's say it has a wobbly floor, something like that. So it's only diras aroi. So Rabbi Yehuda will say it's puzzle. But 98% of the sukkahs in the world, all the normal sukkahs that everybody uses, they're good. The Rabbi Yehuda, because he labels it diras keva, has to be supposed to be diras keva. According to the Chachamim, it's good because it's a diras aroy. So according to, so the Gemara says in Menachos, what's a din sukkah sachag b'chag? A person eats and sleeps in the sukkah during sukkahs, he's obligated to put a mezuzah. Chsavt ma mezuzah b'secha b'sharecha. So the Gemara says the din is that one is only obligated to put a mezuzah if you have a diras keva. So Rabbi Yehuda that a sukkah has to be diras keva, sukkah sachag b'chag is chayv in mezuzah. But Rabbanan, according to the way we paskin, sukkah has to be diras aroy. Cannot be, if it's diras keva, it's puzzle. Has to dafke be diras aroy. So then sukkah hachag b'chag is not chay. So Tosis suggests the one shot like this. If I buy a house and I move into the house day number one, that's diras keva. I own the house and I'm living in the house, eating, sleeping, whatever. I'm living in the house, that's diras keva. If I rent the house, I don't really own the house. It's only rented, so it's diras aroy. And if you rent a house and you're there for more than 30 days, then it's diras keva. So that opinion in Tosafot holds that a rented house is chayv in mezuzah min haTorah. The accepted opinion is the second day in Tosafot, that a rented house only chayv in mezuzah min haRabbanan. Why? Because the pasuk has the chof, v'chsavtam al mezuzah is beisecha or bisharecha, the final chof, beisecha bisharecha has to be shalcha. So if you have a house that belongs to you, a chotzer that belongs to you, that's chayv in mezuzah min haTorah. If you have a house that's rented, it's not chayv in mezuzah shloshim yom. The first 30 days not chayv. After 30 days, it's chayv in mezuzah mishum marisayim, because the people may think that you own the house. Let's say in the apartment building where I live. So when we moved into the apartment, there are a lot of apartments that we moved in. Everybody thought that the landlord was one of the tenants, was the landlord in the building. Turned out that tenant was wealthier than somebody. It wasn't so wealthy. He was wealthier than others, but he wasn't that wealthy. He didn't own the building and didn't even get along with the landlord. He was always fighting with the landlord. He didn't own the building. And then when they sold the building to the second landlord who supports the Aguda causes, he dresses like me. He looks like me. He doesn't dress with anything fancier than me. He has a little beard, nice religious man. So people look at me, I may be the landlord. How do you know who the landlord is? So that's the way, that's the accepted opinion in from the two opinions in Tosafot, the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch every day is that a rented apartment is only chayv and mezuzah, but the Rabbanim and Atari not chayv because beisecha v'sharecha has to be shalcha. It's only rented, it's only mid the Rabbanim. So Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva where he says, why is rented not called beisecha? Because the Gemara said in Avodah Zarah that's chiras lo kanya. The Gemara was talking about the din lo savi seva el beisecha. When the landlord rents to the tenant, to the nochri tenant, and the nochri tenant brings in the Avodah Zarah, is the landlord in violation of lo savi seva beisecha? So the Mishnah says yes. The Gemara says why? But the tenant rented the apartment. The Gemara says no, it's chiras lo kanya. So that's what Rabbi Kivega says. The same reason, the same explanation the Gemara gave, why if the landlord rents the apartment to the goy in his machnas latercha b'rizora, why is the landlord in violation of l'sav yisev el beisech because chivas lo kanya? So it's based off the landlord, it's not based off the tenant. So for the same reason, the tenant is only chayv and mezuzah mid the rabbanim mishum marisai. He's not chayv min haTorah because it's not called beisech because chivas lo kanya. So Rav Shach says, but wait a minute. The Shach says halacha lemaisa when mekel an anisa deraisa lo sabi seivel beisecha bisman hazeh. We don't follow dina de Gemara. He says the reason why Rabbi Kivega writes the reason why schiras lo kanya is because of this. The Rosh said not Rabbi Kivega. The Rosh there at the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah, and the Rosh is explaining how come the minig al mes semchem ha'olam, the minig of the Balei HaTosfos was. They would rent to a Nachri, Oibed Avodah. They knew he was going to be Machmas and Teicha Avodah Zarah, certainly on their holidays, and if someone dies and a baby is born, they would be Machmas and Teicha Avodah Zarah. So why would they make a lot this? It's an Isa Deraisa, the Savisev El Beisecha. So the Rosh answers, because we live by the Ummas, Bein HaUmmas, and they don't follow Din and the Malchusa. The reason why Schiris Lokanya and the landlord is in violation, because it's called Beisa of the landlord, is because it is Gemara. In Bav Mitzia Dav Kuf Aleph, if Shema Yipol Beis Yishal Amaskev it Tachasecha Lotzeis, the Lo Adif Mine. But Bizman Azav, you follow Din and the Machusa, so the landlord will not be able to evict the tenant, even if the landlord's house collapses. So therefore, Bizman Azav Schiris is Kanya. So if you say Bizman Azav Schiris is Kanya, so Rav Shach says, logically, the Chiv to put in Mezuzah should be Menatar from day number one. He shouldn't have the 30-day grace period. So he says he doesn't understand how come the Shulchan Aruch they accept that opinion of Tosfos that the Chiyuv Mezuzah by rented is only Midi Rabbanan. He says even Bizman Hazeh it's still Midi Rabbanan. And they left it in like that. You don't have to put the Mezuzah till after 30 days Mishum Arisai. Why? But the Shach says we paskan like this Rosh at the end of the first parak in Avodah Zarah. That since we follow Dina Machusa, and Dina the Machusa by Dina HaBnei Noyach, if the landlord's house collapses, he cannot evict the tenant. So then Schiris is Kanya. So Schiris is Kanya, so it's Beisecha B'Sharecha of the tenant. So the tenant should be Chai from day number one in Mezuzah. It's a very strong Kasha, a very strong Taina. There's something fishy over here. It's a stira in the Shulchan Aruch.
Rebbe?
Yes?
Could you explain the Marasayim point? Why would you want some Marasayim for the Mezuzah?
Let's say, if I'm going to live in 24 Bennett, and my part in 26A, maybe I'm the landlord. How do you know who owns the building? I look the same as the landlord. Well, now it's a co-op. Now I do own it. Now they made me buy my two apartments. But originally it was rented. So rented, so who's the real landlord? So for years they thought one of the tenants was the landlord. Turned out he wasn't the landlord. But people thought that he was the landlord. People may think I'm the landlord. Even if I look like a poor slob, sometimes multimillionaires dress like a slob. Maybe the poor slob who lives in one of the apartments is the landlord. Maybe he owns it.
Well, what's the issue of being mistaken? I don't really understand that. What's the issue of being mistaken for the landlord?
If they think I'm the landlord, so they think I'm a vatla mitzvah mezuzah. I live in a house and I don't put a mezuzah. So I'm going to fire him for, it's only rented. But it doesn't look like, if it's rented, how come I'm there for so long?
Because the landlord surely owns it and he would have to be chayiv.
If the landlord lives in the house, then he's chayiv and mezuzah and atara, yeah.
So the whole building does it just because it's suffering about one guy at the bottom.
Right. So that's what Davnei Nezer has a true. There used to be an argument here in the dormitory for years. The student said that the Davnei Nezer points out, since we paskin that are rented apartments only chayiv and mezuzah with the rabbanim mishum arisayin. So in a dormitory of a yeshiva, everybody knows, even if my father's the chairman of the board of the yeshiva, he doesn't own the dormitory. Even if it has his name on the building, it means that he donated it to the yeshiva. First Hall. So Mr. First gave the money. Or Gluck Hall. Mr. Gluck gave the money. Or whatever. Stranger. Whatever the name is. What's the other one? Whatever. Well, they gave money for it, but they don't own the building. They donated it to the yeshiva. So everybody knows the dormitory doesn't belong to the student who's sleeping there. So the students used to tie it because the Avnei Nezer says like that, that if since it's only Mishum Arisayin, if it's obvious that it belongs to the Kehillah, so then the Kehillah is chayiv to put the mezuzah, not the person who's staying in the apartment. So the students used to claim it's the administration's responsibility to pay for the mezuzahs. The administration used to say, we don't pass on like your Avnei Nezer, you pay for the mezuzahs. This was going on for years, and half the students didn't have mezuzahs on their doors in the dormitory until the administration finally realized they better put mezuzahs. So the administration put up all the mezuzahs in the dormitory. But for years they didn't want to put up. The yeshiva was used to be a poor yeshiva. It still is a poor yeshiva. So this is an issue. And it's also an issue. What do you mean? The Rosh says that since Bizman Hazeh we live Ben Hanochrim and we don't follow Din HaGemara that the landlord can evict the tenant if the landlord's house falls down, so therefore we say Schibis Kanya. But even Bizman HaGemara, that was the Din. But the Cheshik Shleim over here points out, and Rashi over there, and Bavim Metzia Daf Kuhafal Hamir, Rashi says like that. And the Vilna Gaon says that he's right. Rashi is right, that Din, the landlord can evict the tenant. If the landlord's house collapses, the la'odif minei, that's only after the zman, after the time of the rental is up. Let's say he gave him a 2-year lease, and the 2 years are up, and he's still living there. But cause man, he has a lease, then the Rashi says he can't evict, the landlord can't evict the tenant. So the whole thing is questionable, what the Rosh said. The Rosh said, the reason why Schivas lo kanya is because of that Gemara Bav Metzia. That Gemara Bav Metzia doesn't always apply. It only applies after the Zman Haschiris is up. Terech Hazman, you can't evict the tenant. So if you can't evict the tenant, then it should be Schiris Kanyas, then it should be mutat to rent the house to the guy if he signs a contract. And in the days of the Gemara, it should also be mutat. It's a problem. This detail is a problem. Okay, let's see. Yesterday we were discussing the big fat Tosfos, Afilu Miyasmi. So Tosfos points out there are two different dinim. Aboli par minichse yisaimim, even yisaimim gedolim, tzorchli hishaveya. Even if you have a shtar that says that the father owed you money and the father died, you're coming to collect on the yisaimim. So you have to swear that the chayv is not paruah. So that's Ben Yisrael Mekdala, Ben Yisrael Mektanim. That's one din. Then there's another din. Ein Ephraim Menechse Yisrael Mektanim, Elam Kein Ribas Ocheles Pam. You shouldn't collect at all from Yisrael Mektanim unless by postponing the payment, it's going to turn out that you're going to have to pay more. If the one who lent the money to the father was an Ochri and is charging interest, every month you're going to postpone the payment, it's going to accumulate a bigger debt on the Yisrael or the Almanah. The Amana is also like Ribis Ocheles Pem. Kol Zman the Amana doesn't collect her ksuba, let's say it's their stepmother. It's not their mother. So they're not interested in giving away the whole Yerusha from the father to the stepmother. So So we would rather pay off the ksuba as soon as possible. Once you pay the ksuba, then the almana is no longer entitled to be nizonis minichsi yisayin. But calls man that she doesn't get paid off the ksuba, she is nizonis minichsi yisayin. So they're losing money by postponing a couple of years till they become bar mitzvah, the payment, then it's going to come out that they're going to be losing money. So yesterday we discussed the Gemara in the end of the Masechta, and the Gemara in Erchen, Tosfos quotes both. Tosfos quotes Shili Masechta, the end of the Mechilta, Daf Kuf Ayin Daled, then they quoted from Erchen, Daf Chav Beis, but the Gemara had a machlokes, Rav Papa, and Rav Huna Bei Rav Yishuv. So in the middle of that discussion, Tosfos points out there's another issue. Even when you're not goyvim minichsi yisayim ktanim at all, you don't collect at all, even if the guy's going to swear that he didn't collect it. By yisayim gdolim you collect, provided that the one who has the shtar is prepared to be nishba menoitel. He has to swear that he wasn't paid off yet by the father. But if it's yisayim ktanim, you don't collect, even if he's going to swear. So the Taisus throws in that there's another problem. What if it's a milva bal peh? What if it's a milva bal peh? The Mishnah has in the end, yesterday we saw that Mishnah. I think it's the last Mishnah in the Masechta. Next to the last Mishnah. Here, Kufay and Hey, Omer Aleph, the last two lines. Amavus Chaver, Bishtar, Govim, and Achosim, Shibbot, and Al Yedeidim, Govim, and Achosim, and Achosim, can only collect from the Kuchais if there's a Milva Bishtar. So the Milva Baal Peh, he can only collect Mina, he can't collect from the Lukuch. What about collecting from the Yisayimim? So that's a Machlokes in the Gemara there. That's a Machlokes there on Amud Beis. And we pass on Lalach, a Milva Baal Peh is Govim, a Yorshim, and a Govim, and a Lukuchas. Milva Baal Peh, he can't collect from the Yorshim. Yet, but how do you know that there's a Milva Baal Peh? The Eidim have to come, either the Eidim have to come and testify, or the Malba comes with a shtar. So let's say the Eidim come and they testify. So we have a pasuk in Parshas Mishpat, the Muad Biva Olov, by Shor HaMuad. The first three times in Shor is Nageach, he pays Chatzi Nezik Migufo, and the fourth time, from the fourth time on, he's a Muad, Shor HaMuad, and he pays Nezik Shalom Minu Aliyah. So it says in the pasuk, Muad Biva Olov, if they, Huad means they testified, Eidim testified in the presence of the Baal HaShor, the Baldin is the owner of the shore. You want to declare, you want to establish that this shore is a shore on wood. And from now on, if the shore on wood makes a hezek, Baal HaShor has to pay nezek shalim in Hualiyah. So the din is, you learn that from the pasuk. So Tosis points out, our Tosis quotes Gemaras from the end of Bava Kamma. This topic is the end of Bava Kamma. Not to be mekabel neder shalay b'fnei Baldin, the end of Bava Kamma. So if the Malba comes with a shtar, so you don't need any Kabbalah Seidus. Eidim achsim ala shtar kemisha nechrei dusim ebezen domi. The only shaila is that maybe the shtar is mezuyif. Maybe the shtar is mezuyif, who said that it's authentic. So the Gemara says, the whole need for kiyum ha-shtar is only mid-rabban. When Atari and At-Choshish, maybe the shtar is mezuyif. That's what the Gemara quotes in the beginning of Gitna. The Gemara quotes from Shlokish. Eidim achsim ala shtar nasi kemisha nechrei dusim ebezen. The need for kiyum ashtar to enable the malva to be able to collect with the shtar is only with the rabbanon, the chashin and the mezuzah. So since the whole need for kiyum ashtar is only with the rabbanon, the Gemara says there, at the end of Bava Kamma, you can do kiyum ashtar shaloi b'fnei baldin. So that's not a problem. But if it's not a milva b'shtar, and the malva comes to collect, he's going to have to bring edim in milva alpeh, al yidei edim. Mishnah has malva chaver b'shtar as opposed to malva as chaver, al yidei edim. If he only has edim, so then you have to be Mekabalatus, Bifnei Baldin. So Tosis quotes from the Gemara, you can't be Mekabalatus against Ketanim, because Ketanim Allah B'nei Das, that's considered Shaloi Bifnei Baldin. The Bifnei Baldin means that Baldin should be a Bardas, he should understand what the Edom are saying. So if they're children before Bar Mitzvah, they're Allah B'nei Das Alpidin. So that's called Kabbalah Seder Shaloi Bifnei Baldin. So that's what Tosis says. The Gemara gave two explanations why ain is kokim the nichse yisamim tanim elokein ribas hachelos behem. So Tosfos says, what did they need all the explanations for? Whenever you need edim, You have to be mekaleidus b'fnei baldin, and the ketanim are considered shalai b'fnei baldin because they're lab b'nei das. What do you need all the explanations? The Tosfos said you need the two explanations: Rav Papa, Rav Huna, buried Rav Yeshua, either because Yasmi priyas b'chayv is only a mitzvah, no shibur aguf even shibur aguf is shibur alav deraisa. So the Yasmi lab b'nei mevim mitzvah, you know, or the other Rav Huna, buried Rav Yeshua, we don't accept Rav Papa. The other explanation, the chashina litzvari. So this is only if they testified while the father was still alive. That's what the big Tosfos points out. Because he can't be mekabeleidus shaloi b'fnei baldin, and ketan mu'ala b'nei das, that's considered shaloi b'fnei baldin. That's in the big Tosfos, no? Where was that? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, the fourth line from the top. The third line from the top. The third line from the beginning of the test, Afilu Miyasmi. So Tosfos writes, Emkabim Eidim Shalai Bifnei Badin, the Ketanim Choshim Shalai Bifanov, Ketanim Alab Benai Das, Kinemuchach Bereish Perak HaGoizel. Afilu Niskab Leidis Bechai Ha'av. If it's Lo Niskab Leidis Bechai Ha'av, then you don't need a takana the rabbanon. You don't need an explanation. Rav Huna b'Reb Yeshua, Rav Papa. You don't need an explanation why you can't collect from the same miktanim. It's pashut by you have to be in mekabeleidus, and you can't be mekabeleidus shloim b'fnei baldin. What's that din? Ein mekabeleidus shloim b'fnei baldin. The original pasuk gives v'huad bivolov. V'huad bivolov is by dini mamonis. By dini mamonis. So the Gemara says in the end of Bava Kamma, all the way at the end of, in Agoizel. So the Gemara says, if it's a big shas hatchak, then you are able to be a mekabeleidus shloim b'fnei baldin. Let's say the Edom are old and they're sick and they're going to die, and they're holding by the end and they want to testify, or the Edom are going to travel to Medina Zayam, and we want to be there. They're going to leave tomorrow. You want to be mekabeleidus. So the baldin is a wise guy. So he says he can't come today. He'll come next week. When will come next week? The Edom are leaving this week, or the Edom are going to die this week. Going to come next week, it'll be too late. So the Gemara says, if it's a shas hatchak, then we allow you to be mekabeleidus shaloi b'fnei baldin. So there, the Rashba is bothered with akasha. It's a din deraisa. How can you be make a pasuk b'huad bivolov? It says by dini mamonis. It says b'feirish by dini mamonis. How can you be make a, if you have a din derabbanon, so b'shas hatchak there's room to be make a. Kach tikna chachamim. B'shas hatchak. If you have a din, it's only lahatchila, but b'riyeved, something is mutter. So, shas hatrak k'riyeved dami. Shas hatrak, we allow lahatchila, which usually is unacceptable, b'riyeved. Adinim deraisa, you don't have a din that something is lahatchila, it's asan, b'shas hatrak, it's mutter, because b'riyeved is mutter. On the level of deraisa, you don't have a lahatchila, b'riyeved, and Eastern, you have a mitzvah. That's a tesis in the end of Nida, has like that. In a mitzvah, you have l'chadchila, there's a mitzvah b'shlemusa, the mitzvah should be done like this, and b'di'evet, if you did it like that, you're also yet. So let's say, a korban chatas, so you do zrikas hadam on the dalet karnas ha-mizbeach. L'chadchila, you need matonis on all the four karnas ha-mizbeach, the mizbeach achitzan, mizbeach ha-nechoshes, and b'di'evet, if you did one zrika, you're yotze. L'chadchila, you have to have tzitzis tcheles with lovan, and b'di'evet, if you only have the lovan without the tcheles, and you only have the tcheles without the lovan, you yotze the incomplete mitzvah. Tosfos gives another mashal lechatchila. When you do chalitza, chalitza is a mitzvah. So the mitzvah b'shleimusa, you have to have kriyas ha-psukim. He says, she says, mein yivam lehokim shem li Yisrael. He says, lo yov ha-yab. He says, lo chafasti lekachto. They say back and forth, kochi yosalish. Recite. So you need kriyas ha-psukim, you need rikike, you need chalitza, taking off the shoe. And b'di'evet, there's a machlekes hatarim, how much is me'akev. So we pask in b'di'evet, the kriyas ha-psukim is not me'akev, and the rikike is not me'akev, the spitting on the floor in front of the oven is not me'akev, only the chalitza sandal is me'akev. So why do you need it, l'chatchila? So they said, because chalitza is a mitzvah. There's a concept of a mitzvah b'shlei musa, and a mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa. Whenever a person does a mitzvah, he's going to get the Gan Eden. So not everybody in Gan Eden has the same level of, some are going to get ice cream for dessert, and others not going to get any dessert. Now they're going to get two ice creams for dessert. You're going to get more schar, you get more labiosin, whatever. There's more schar. If you do a mitzvah b'shlei musa, as opposed to doing shalom b'shlei musa, you're going to get more schar, whatever the schar is. So Taisus points out, it only makes sense to have lechatchilin b'di'evit. In Gittin, you have a lot of times. Lechatchilin again should it be written like this, b'di'evit, it's good without that. So Taisus said that's a dead giveaway that it's only midirabban. In the get is not a mitzvah, get is a matir. So in a matir, it does make sense, lechatchilin should have done it like this, and b'di'evit did it like that is good. On the level of rabbanan, you can have such a thing even in a matir. But on the level of the reise, Tosfos writes in the end of Nida, it only makes sense to have a lechatchilin b'di'evit in a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah b'shlei musa, there's a mitzvah shelo b'shlei musa. So the to the Rashba, there in the end of Bava Kama, he asks, he doesn't understand how are you allowed to violate a din b'shas hadchak? B'shas hadchak k'di'evit domi be'ava kol. B'shas hadchak we allow lechatchila, which usually is only acceptable b'di'evit. Lechatchila b'di'evit, that's on dinim derabbanan. But here, b'od b'bolim z'apasik and chumash, it's a real din. So how can you say that b'shas hadchak y'meikol, b'di'evit it should be no good? That's the Rashba's kasha. He doesn't really have a good answer. Yes, the kasha doesn't have a good answer. The Sameach has a very... Sameach was a big genius. He has an ingenious answer. The question is, it's very sharp. He's always sharp. The Sameach is always very sharp. The question is it correct or not? He has a suggestion. He says, what kind of a din is this din, Kabbalah Seder Sbifnei Baal Din? The Tosis points out, we just read the third line in the Tosis, that Ktanim, even if you mekabaleidus bifneim, Ktanim choshiv shaloi bifonov, ken muchel peresh perek hagoizel basro b'avakam adav kufya beis. A very shigmar like that. Why is it called shaloi bifonov? Because the Ktanim is a lot bardas. Why do you have to be a bardas? So the Yosamech explains. The whole idea of kabbalah seidus bifnei baldin is that will enhance the drisha v'chakir. The Gemara learns that from the Pesukim. They add up. It says, but the rashta v'chakarta v'shalta heitiv. I would have thought that it's like a balaturim, it's like a gematria or something, but it's not. This the midrash turned it reshes b'em. Take for example, how do you know that there were lamates ovis malachas? So one Tana says there's a drasha gemura. You add up every time it says in the chumash and bereishis till the kol yisrael. Every time it says malacha malachto malachas, and it adds up to 39. It adds up to much more than 39. So the different shittas and achrayim, what the Gemara meant. The Gemara has a suffix about a certain pasuk. But Yehovah habayis lasas malachtai. When Yosef atzadik went home lasas malachtai. So does that count? Las malachta means to have an affair with the Ishes Potiphar, to have an affair with the woman, or las malachta means to do his work, what he was mechuyev to do. So if it means to have an affair with her, then it doesn't count as one of the 39. If Lassa Malachta means to do his work, the bookkeeping and whatever else he did, then it counts as one of the 39. So the Gemara assumes that there are more than 39 psukim. They're not sure whether this is one of the 39 or not. So there are different shittas and achrenim. Which are they not counting? They look at the Feinayim. Usually the Feinayim at the end of the Masech, the Feinayim always gives you cross references to Yerushalmis. So usually they write in the history books and the biographies, the Feinayim happened to be passing through Vilna when they were printing the Vilna Shas. So the publishers, the Achim Alman Aram, they asked them, does he have any chidushim? They'd be happy to put it in the back of their Vilna Shas. So he said, which Masechta are you printing? So he said, whatever, the printing Baba Kama. So he said, when is the latest date? When do I have to submit it? They said, by Thursday afternoon, we're going to go to print. So he sat down on the spot, and he had 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and he wrote the whole thing on Bava Kama. Then they told him, next week we're doing Erevin. So when is the deadline? He wrote everything on the spot, not that this was his whole lifetime. He sat and he wrote all of Bava Kama. He wrote the Bava Kama on the spot. He was a bucky, he had a photographic memory. Rav Kook, when they have in the biographies of Rav Kook once met him. Usually there's only one Shabbos Chanukah. Chanukah is 8 days. And sometimes there are two Shabbosim on Chanukah. And in some communities they say Piyutim. But it doesn't come out so often, twice Shabbos Chanukah, the first day and the last day of Shabbos, two Shabbos Chanukah. So in one community it was second Shabbos Chanukah. And they didn't have any Sidurim that had the Piyutim, so they weren't going to say the Piyutim. for Shabbos Chanukah. So the Yafei Naim was there, and he said, "I'll say it out loud by heart, and everyone should say after me." And Rav Kook couldn't believe it. He knew all the piyutim for the second Shabbos Chanukah by heart. Most people don't know the piyutim for the first Shabbos Chanukah by heart. He knew for the second Shabbos Chanukah. Anyway, so the Yafei Naim at the end of Erevin also has a bit of a discussion about this. Which ones do you include? Which ones do you not include? The Gemara said it says 39 times from Bereshis till the end of Kol Yisrael. Said the word Malocha Malachta Maleches 39 times. So he quotes the Kasha from the earlier Rashbam. He lived in the late 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas, but from centuries before, the Achronim already discussed it. Which Malocha Malachta? It says more than 39. Which ones are you including? Which ones are you not including? It's a big issue. So similar to that, the Gemara has, how do you know that there are seven chakiras? The Mishnah has beza yom, beza shavua, beza shana. Was it in the morning, afternoon, what hour, and some beza mokan? The Gemara says, how do you know that there were seven chakiras? The Gemara says, you add up every time it says, v'derashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta, three times. In another case, it says also two or three times. In another case, it says two times. There it says two times, and three times. You add it all together, adds up to seven. So that's considered a drosha. I would have thought that that's an asmachta. It's a gematria. Gematrios of paparos lachachma. It means it's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. The Gemara says not so. This is from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes. And the same thing, there's a machloike satanayim and a sveka din and shulchan aruch. What if you only have one kosher hadas? You don't have three kosher hadasim. You have three hadasim, but only one of them is mishulosh. The other two are not mishulosh. You only have one hadas lamaisin. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Is the three hadasim really ma'akeh ben ha-Torah or not? Where they get the idea that you need three? It says anaf eight tzavos in singular. How they come off to say that you need three? So the answer is because there are three words, anaf eight tzavos. So because it's in three words, so one Tana says that shows that you need three. Same thing, karnas. How did they establish how many zrikas you need by the korban chatas, how many lechatchil, and how many b'diyeved? So it's all based on how many times the word appears in Chumash, or the word basukas teshva, sukas, how many defanas they need. Also, the Gemara says, you add up how many times the word basukas appears. Apparently, that's from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. So this is, then you need the Sheva Chakiris. Okay. The original psukim by the Sheva Chakiris all say by Dina Nefoshes. Nothing says by Dina Mamines. So one might have argued the point, and you add up, and one parsha it says v'derashta v'chakarta, another one says v'shalta v'derashta, v'derashta v'chakarta v'shalta. It says three and two, you add it up to seven. That's how you know that there were seven questions that you have to ask. And how do you know that it applies to Dini Mamines also? So the Mishnah says on Daf Lamed Beis on Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah in Echa Dini Mamines, the fourth Perek, in Sanhedrin, so it says, Echa Dini Mamines v'Echa Dini Nefoshes b'dvisha v'chakira. How do you know what the psukim only say by Dini Nefoshes? They're not psukim at all of Dini Nefoshes. The answer is, but it says, Mishpatecha Yehalachem. The Dini Mamines should be the same as Dini Nefoshes, but just like Dini Nefoshes needs Dvisha v'chakira, Dini Mamines also needs Dvisha v'chakira. So then the Gemara says, then the Gemara in the first half in Echa Dini Mamines says, Midirabbanan, they did away with the need for Drish Mechakira in Dini Mamanis. Why? Kedesha Lotin al Velas Bifnei Lovin? I'm not going to want to lend anybody any money. I'm going to lend them money, and I'm going to have two witnesses. I lent them $20,000 in cash, and I have two witnesses. Then they're going to, 5 years later, when I want to get my money back, I lent them $20,000 for 5 years. The Yadim will come and they say he lent them, so they're going to say, what day of the week was it? How are they supposed to remember? What floor in first? It was in Gluck. Which floor? Was it in the first floor, the fifth floor, the sixth floor? He remembers it was in Gluck. He doesn't remember. He doesn't remember what day of the week it was. He remembers it was during Saras Mei Tshuva sometime. He doesn't remember which year. He doesn't remember which day. So you'll never be able to get your money back, so people will not want to lend any money. What Malone will I tell him? I'm going to do him a favor and lend him $20,000 for 5 years. Then I'll never be able to collect it back because the Edom are not going to remember exactly when the Havoah took place. So the Rabbanu Kadesh will I tell him, and they did away with the need for Drisha B'Chakir. Fine. So if you don't need, so the Osamech explains, the whole idea of Kabbalah Seder Bifnei Baldin is a chelik of the Drisha V'Hakira. The Bezin isn't going to know what questions to ask the Edom. The Malva, the Loiva knows what questions. Let's say, the Edom are going to say, the Malva lent you $20,000 in Galak in Aseres Mei Tshuva. So I'll know what questions to ask. I'll say, did he lend me by check or by cash? And was it $50 bills or $100 bills? What was it? Was it a $20,000 bill? Or were they $20,000 bills? Or were they $4,500 bills? But what was it? Do you remember? I'll be able to ask him because Bezin won't even know what they're supposed to ask. I'll be able to ask, was it before the break? Was it before lunch, after lunch? I'll know better to ask what questions. So Kabbalah Seder Bifnei Baldin is really a chelik of the din of Drisha V'Chakira. That's what the Ursa Meach suggests. And that's why Tosis quoted from the Gemara Resh Perek HaGozol Bas Vodaf Kuf Yudbeis that Kabbalah Seder Bifnei Ktanim, the Ktanim Choshiv Shaloi Bifanim, because the Ktanim is a lot bad, so he won't know what questions they ask. So it's considered like Kabbalah Seder Shaloi Bifnei Baldin. But the Chachamim did away with the need for Drisha V'Chakira. So you don't need Drisha V'Chakira, so you really shouldn't require Kabbalah Seder Bifnei Baldin. So that's what the Ursa Meach says. After they were mevatel and need, hefka bez nefka, they have a right to do whatever they want. Indeed, so after they were mevatel and need for Drisha V'Chakira, they reinstituted, so that should have fallen away, the whole din of Kabbalah Seder Bifnei Baldin. That's a prat within the din of Drisha V'Chakira. So then they decided to reinstitute the din deraisa. So they reinstituted it. That's only with the rabbanon. It used to be deraisa. B'loy b'volov used to be deraisa. Calls man, there was a din deraisa that you need Drisha V'Chakira. Once they did away with the need for Drisha V'Chakira, the Mele did away with the need for Kabbalah Seder Bifnei Baldin. So they reinstituted it with the rabbanon. So once you knocked it down, they say that it's only a din with the rabbanon. Then there's room to say that the lechatchila you need it. But b'di'evit it would be good without the Kabbalah Seder Bifnei Baldin. And b'shas ha'trak, it was Eidim ha'ochem l'medina sayam, Eidim ha'cholim, they're going to die. If you wait till next week, the Eidim may die. So b'shas ha'trak, he can be m'kabbalah, there shall be b'fnei Baldin.
It's the same question still, how did they get rid of it in the Raisa?
How did they get rid? They have the right to change whatever they want. The Din Mamon is based on Hefka Bezna Hefka, and they felt that this is necessary to do away with the need for Drisha V'Chakira. Is necessary Kadesh Lotan Odalus Bifnei Lovin. And the Din of Kabbalah Seder Bifnei Baldin is not a separate Din. It's a chelik of the Din. It's an aspect of it. It's a prat within the Din of Drisha V'Chakira. Drisha V'Chakira will be better if it's Bifnei Baldin, if the Baldin is a Bardas, so he'll know. You say that I was there and I borrowed money, so I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. I say, it's not true. I never borrowed the money. Or the Yisoymim. If the Yisoymim Akhtanim, they won't know what to ask. They won't understand what's flying. But if they Gedolim, then it'll be Bifnei Baldin, so they'll know what to ask.
So why can't we just say they got rid of with the power of Hefker Mesbeth, or they got rid of the Din of Bifnei Baldin?
Right, that's what we are saying. They got, but where does it say? But where does it say that in the Gemara that they got rid of it? So that's what the Ursa Meach says. The Gemara does say. The Gemara said they got rid of the din of Drisha V'Chakira, and Kabbalah says Bifnei Baldin is a detail within that din of Drisha V'Chakira. So once they did away with Drisha V'Chakira Memele, Kabbalah says Bifnei Baldin also falls away. But the Gemara says you do need it. So the need that you still need it, that's only Midir Rabbanan. They reinstituted it Midir Rabbanan. But if it's going to be a Shas HaTrak, then there's room to be made on a Din Derabbanan. But on a Din Deraisa, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Shas HaTrak, a real Din Deraisa, Mekel B'Shas HaTrak. How, to what extent does one have to be stringent to observe the Din of Deraisa? If it's an emergency, you don't have to. That's it. When Dr. Belkin instituted Einstein Medical School, so many were complaining, what does the yeshiva need a medical school for? So they complained to Rabbi Soloveitchik. So that year he published 11 Yiddish essays in the Yiddish newspaper. People used to read, it used to be a daily. Now the Yiddish newspaper came out, doesn't exist. It's a weekly, and most of the half of it is English. It doesn't say anything anyway. But it used to be, the Yiddish newspaper used to be a daily, it used to be more than one Yiddish newspaper. So Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote 11 essays about the orthodoxy, different aspects of orthodoxy today. exceeding and other things, changing the text to the Siddur. So one of the essays was, why does Yeshiva Nebrai Siddur need a medical school? So in the essay he writes, I think they're going to soon translate all of them into English and publish all these. They printed it in Yiddish. They reprinted in Yiddish all the 11 essays. But hardly anybody reads any Yiddish today. The Satmar I read, Rabbi Soloveitchik's Yiddish essays. People in YU don't know how to read Yiddish. So the drushes that he gave for the Mizrahi also was delivered in Yiddish. So they're going to print all the rest of the drushes. They're going to be in Yiddish. Only the Satmar will be able to read Rabbi Soloveitchik's drushes in Yiddish that he gave for the Mizrahi. And they're going to translate them some year, some century. They're going to translate them into Hebrew, into English. The others will be able to read them. So he has his essay about Einstein. He says, until now, we had to rely on the non-observant Jewish doctors or the non-Jewish doctors. They know that something is an emergency. So then you can bend a little bit in your religion. So whenever there's any slight tzorach, so they'll tell a person, he should eat on Yom Kippur, he should eat on Tisha B'Av Nisan. And we have dinim. Has to eat on Yom Kippur. But if it's only a choli, even if it's an emergency, you have to fast on Yom Kippur, only if there's a suffix sakana. And on Tisha B'Av, it's not to muta whenever it's an emergency. It has to be doctor choli she'en b'sakana. You don't allow the person to eat on Tisha B'Av. So he said, now we're going to have Ruma doctors. They'll be able to tell us what the situation is. They'll know the dinim and they'll know the medical situation, they'll be able to tell us when can the person eat on Yom Kippur and when not. Yeah, we have now a lot of religious doctors who are very learned, and they know how to pass on shaylos.
Right.
Yes.
Was the original drisha like a kira done by Beis Din, or was it always done by the Baal Din?
No, it's done by Beis Din, but in the presence of the Baal Din.
I'm saying originally, our hope was that Baal Din would be more effective asking the question. Was
right.
Was it ever just done by the Baal Din, or just by Beis Din?
No, it's possible. The Rosh Tavachakatz is a din on the Beis Din. Chaim has in his safe on the Rambam, he explains, he answers a whole bunch of kashas with that the Rosh Tavachakatz is a din on the Beis Din, not a din that Edis without Rishu B'Hakir is not Edis. It's a din Beis Din should not be Mekabel Edis without Rishu B'Hakir. If you have a star, and then Rish Lakish says, "Ein machsim al shtar nase kemisha nechkrei dusim ebezin." If you have a star, then you don't need Rish v'chakira, because it's chala din edus without going through bezin. Shtar is the only time that you can have a edus chal without being accepted by bezin. So therefore, the shtar does need Rish v'chakira, because Rish v'chakira is not a din. That edus without Rish v'chakira is not edus. It is edus. But Bezin has no right to be Mekabalit. But in the Shtar, you don't need Kabbalah's Edus like they Bezin. If the Shtar is authorized to be written by the Das HaMeschayiv, the one against whom it's coming to testify, then it has a din of Shtar. So Shtar is Chal Edus without Bezin. You can write a Shtar Balayla. You can't have Kabbalah's Edus Balayla. Reb Chaim has a long arichas on that. Yeah. No, Tavishu HaKir is a din in Bezin. But the Beis Din will be encouraged if you give Kabbalah Seidus Bifnei Baal Din. So the Baal Din will tell the Beis Din what questions they ask to stump the experts. So the guy, if they're making up a Bava Maisa, so the Baal Din will know better how to catch them in a lie. Because he was there. He knows whether he borrowed the money or didn't borrow the money. He can say, I borrowed the money. Was I in the hallway? Was I in the base medrash? Was I in the cafeteria? Which room? He knows all the different rooms in the building. He knows what they ask. So that's just about that line in Tosafot. That's the point. There is a machlekes hatanaim in the middle of Bava Kamma, the mems. Ram mem hey or so. There's another din. Ein gar medina shaladim shalai b'fanov. When you make a gmar din, at least in din in the fashion. In Mamanus, it's a machlokes and Rishonim, where they need a gmar din bifnei baal din or not. But in din in the fashion, for sure, you can't make a gmar din shalai bifnei baal din. So Rashi writes, the gmar never says what's the mocker for the din. So Rashi on Bava Kamma, and Adaf Mem Hey, I think Rashi writes what's the mocker. The mocker is at the end of Chumash Bamidbar. It says by the dinim of Golus and by Retzeach b'Mezid, Retzeach b'Shogi. So it says, Lo yomas haretzeach ar omdo lefnei ha'eda la mishpat. The eda means the bezin. V'shoftu ha'eda v'yitzila ha'eda. Eda shofetas v'eda matzalas. Eda means 10 members of the bezin. Lo yomas haretzeach, you have no right to kill the murderer, ar omdo lefnei ha'eda la mishpat, until you have a gemardin b'fanav. Ar omdo lefnei, you need en gamadina shalad v'shalad b'fanav. So that's a din. Everybody agrees to that din. By Mamanus, it's a machlokes harishonim. That's quoted in Choshen Mishpat. If there's a din in the Gemara, that's quoted in Choshen Mishpat. Let's say they went to the Reuven and Shimon had a din Torah. They went to the local Bezdin, and the Bezdin doesn't know what the din is. They know all the details, but they don't know what the din is supposed to be. So they send a letter to a bigger Bezdin. They send a letter to the Ramos Bezdin, or to Rabbi Yosef Karas Bezdin. So they will send back a letter what the din is. So what do you mean? The other Bezin in the other city sends back what the psak is, that the other Bezin passed in Shalab Bifnei Baldin. You can pass Kandidim on the Shalab Bifnei Baldin. The other Bezin sends a letter in learning to this Bezin. This Bezin reads it, and then based on that Shtikal Torah that the other Bezin sent them, the present Bezin will pass him Bifnei Baldin. Is there a din that you need? Ain't Gomadin Shalab and Shalab Bifana with Didim Amenis also? Maybe it's only a din in the Foshis for some reason or not. Maybe the Gomadin in the Foshis is different. So that's 2 days in Choshen Mishpat, Machlokes HaRishonim. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma there around Daf Mem Hei has a Machlokes HaTanoim. Does that apply to Shor HaNiskol? The din usually is that Shor HaNiskol, the Gambol of Yumas. So the Gemara says, Kemisis HaBalim Kaf Misa HaShor, just like Misis HaBalim, you need a Sanhedrin of 23. So too to be done in Shor HaNiskol, it's not really din in the Foshes. The animal's life is at stake, it's not a human being. I remember we used to have a medical ethics hotline here for a couple of years. Someone gave money that Rabbanim or families or doctors, whenever they have a shaila and they don't have time to ask the local rabbi, they can call without a hotline. So once on a Friday morning, usually I used to go to the OU on Friday mornings to work in Kashrut. I get an urgent phone call in the OU that a woman just converted this week and she's an animal doctor. What do you call that? Veterinarian, and they have an animals hospital, okay, and they take turns who's going to be there on weekends. So it was her turn to go this Shabbos. She's going to go to take care of the behemoths. And then they told her, "What do you mean? You just converted. You're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos." But she said, "It's Pikuach Nefesh." They told her, they broke the news to her. They didn't tell her that there's no Pikuach Nefesh for Nochrim. They didn't want to tell that. He just said, there's no Pikuach Nefesh for behemoths. So he said, are you sure? So the one that they used to have, one Rabbi Yitzchak Rosenbaum, Rabbi Palev's grandson, used to be in charge of the medical ethics hotline. He used to be on the fourth floor in the other building, on the first floor. So she said, could you please ask one of the senior rabbis? So the two senior rabbis were Rabbi Tendler and me. So Rabbi Tendler wasn't available, so he called me. So I said, yes, I confirm what you said. Pikuach Nefesh for behemoth is not Dachas Shabbos. That's the thing. But even though it's not really din in Foshes, it's not because it's not Dechah Shabbos, but still the pasuk says the gambol of Yumas kemisa abana kamisa shor. So you need a bezne, you need a Sanhedrin of 23. So the question is, how far do you go with this din kemisa abana kamisa shor? That's the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Not all the dinim of din in the Foshes of Adam carry over to Shor HaNiskol. The 23 carries over. All the other 9 chilukim between Mamas and Nefashis do not carry over. The Gemara says Beferish. So the Shaila is, what about En Gor Medina Shal Adam Shalai Befanav? Can you be Gor Medina Shal Shor Shalai Befanav? The Shor is a lot Bardas. It's not the same as over here. En Mekab Neidu Shalai Befnei Baldin. And Tosis says, it's Muchach in the Gemara, Resh Perek HaGoizel, that the Ketanim is considered Shalai Befanav because he's a lot Bardas. Because the Osamech explained, the Baldin has to be a Bardas to enhance the drisha of a hakira. But to become a dina shalot, that's not based on being a bardas. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. Does it make sense to apply, carry over that din from Mises HaBailim to Mises HaShor or not? I think we paskin that you do need, you can't become a dina shalot, even though the shor is a la bardas, but for that purpose is considered b'fanav. But for the purpose of eim b'kabnei shalot b'fanei baldin, that's considered Shalai b'fanav. That's not considered b'fanav. So the Gemara had this shaila where the migum b'makom chazaka is good. It's an ibayi d'lo yefshita. What's a din in an ibayi d'lo yefshita? A stake of the dina. So how do you paskin? So if it would have been an issue, an issa deraisa teko deraisa l'chumra. If it would have been an issue, the rabbana teko derabbana l'kula. Sofik deraisa l'chumra. Sofik Rabbana Lakula. Here it's an issue of Dini Mamanis. In Dini Mamanis we say, Sofik Mamayna Lakula, because Hamotzi Mechavera, all of Haraya. So we're mesupik whether the loiva believed with the migu when it's contradicted by a chazaka. If he's not believed, then he has to pay the money. If he is believed, he doesn't have to pay. So the loiva is muchzik on the money. So any teiku, sveka de dina, any teiku de bamayna is lekula la nitva. Yeah, but what happens if tofas? What if the malva will be tofas? What if you have a sofik mamayna, sveka de dina? So the din is hamotz macharel of haraya, the muchzik keeps the money. Because he's muchzak. So what if the toiveya is toifes from the muchzak? What's the din in such a case? So that's called tokfa kayin. There's a famous sugi in the beginning of Bava Metzia, the above, tokfa kayin. What's tokfa kayin about? A farmer has a behemah, gave birth to a b'chor behemah tohira. So it has kedushas b'chor. He's supposed to be makrivit on the mizbeach. And even Mizmanazet is no Mizbeach. It's a Matnas Kuna. It's one of the Chof Dalet Matnas Kuna. You have to give it to the Kohen. And it's Mamayna Shala Kohen. So what if you have a Sofik? What if you have a Sofik Bechor? How do you have a Sofik Bechor? Let's say the Behemah had a miscarriage before this. And we're not sure whether if the Behemah had a miscarriage, let's say a woman has a miscarriage and then she has a baby boy. So on the miscarriage, you don't do pidyon haben. Did you do pidyon haben on the second baby? So the din is if the first one had a tzuras havlad, if it was more than 40 days, they have books. I remember when my children were little babies, I used to go with my wife sometimes to Dr. Gribitz. He was the baby doctor. So he had medical books in his office. So when you're waiting your turn, you look in the medical books. It has pictures of what the fetus looks like after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and so on. So around the 43rd day or so, the 44th day, it's something the size of an inch by an inch, the whole fetus, the whole baby. But it already looks like the figure of a human being. Teeny weeny. The whole thing is only an inch by an inch. 2 inches by less than 2 inches by 2 inches. But it already has a tzuras havlad. So a lot of times you don't know. Let's say a woman had a miscarriage. She went to the bathroom. She was sitting on a toilet seat. Something came out, and then she flushed the toilet. And then she realized that was a miscarriage. She didn't have a chance. She didn't think of looking at it. It was a chunk of flesh that came out. So that'll be a suffix. If she was pregnant less than 40 days, for sure, it's not tzuras havlad. If she was pregnant, something like 43, 44 days, approximately then it's possible that it has a tzuras havlad. So if the miscarriage had a tzuras havlad, that for sure there's no pidyon haben on a dead baby, on a miscarriage. But then if the first one had tzuras havlad is after 40 days, 43, 44 days, and it had a tzuras havlad, then the next one will be potter from pidyon haben. So behemoth also did a thing like that. They say that petach hamor is very rare, petach hamor, because it's very common that the female chamoros have miscarriages, and nobody keeps track whether the miscarriage had a tzuras havlad or didn't have a tzuras havlad. So usually by petach hamor, very often it's going to be a sofik petach hamor of the Chor Behemah Torah. A lot of times, if you're not careful, you're not watching everything that the Behemah does, it could be the Behemah had a miscarriage before, the female Behemah had a miscarriage with a Tzuras Havlad. And then the next one will not be Chayiv, and the next one will not need Pidyon Petach Hamor. The next one will not have a din of Chor Behemah Torah. So what's the din if you have a Sofik Petach Hamor? You have a Sofik Chor Behemah Torah. So the Hamor Tzimachari Olav Harayim, the farmer is not mechuyev to give it away to the kohen. What if tokfa kohen? What if the kohen comes and he grabs it? He doesn't ask any questions. So that's a shaila in the Gemara. Tokfa hakohen, we say tokfa kohen. It's not correct, not tokfa. It means tokfa kohen. The kohen went and he grabbed it. The din should have been on boitzim mechaber olav haraya, because the farmer is muchzik on the vlad, on the petach hamor, or the farmer is muchzik on the b'chor beim ha-toira. and it's a suffix whether he has to give it. So you say amotz machavel of haraya. So amotz machavel of haraya paskan zois the din. It just means you don't do anything. Nafkamin is what if the kohen will grab? Do you say you don't do anything? So the kohen grabbed it. So you let the kohen keep it. Oh, no, most of the rishonim hold that kokvel kametzina asmiyot. You give it back to the farmer. And the Rambam stands out. The Rambam paskins no. So when you look in Shulchan Aruch, there's always a machlok and mechaber and Rambam in Choshev Mishpat. Whenever there's a suffix and dinim amrus, then mechaber will say you potter. However, if the nitva is potter from paying because he's muchzok. However, if the taveya was tafas, him tafas same as in the other. And the Rambam will always say we don't paskin like that. Mechaber paskin like the Rambam. Talk for kain. He keeps it. There are more paskin like the Bali Atosos, like Rover Rishonim. That Tokfukain is Matzin Osamiyode. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara, the Maskana saying, Tokfukain. Here, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this din, and the Rabban quotes when the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, it doesn't say in the Mechaber that it's a Sofeg, and therefore, me Sofeg, Ey Matzin, it's a Sveka Dedina, whether Migu Mavokh Machazok is good or not. So therefore, we believe the loiva. But if the mava will be typhus, he can keep it. So the Ramam should have written, the Mechaber should have written, if the mava will be typhus, he'll keep it, because Tokfokayin ain't matzin oisem yoda, and the Ramam should have disagreed. The Ramam doesn't say like that, the Mechaber doesn't say. So that's what the Tumim, not the same, it's Simen Ayin Ches, but it's not the same Sivkot that I quoted yesterday. I quoted Sivkot New Base. But he has another sifkot there where he talks about that. How come the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch didn't write that it's a sveka d'dina? They write as if it's b'toras v'adai that migum b'makom chazaka is a good migum, as if it was nipshat in the sugyas and the bayit d'leib shitas. He tries to show there are other sugyas in the end of Bav Metzia that Tosis quotes. Tosis has this style. This is in general. What do you do when there's a contradiction between the different Gemaras? They're always contradictions. That's what the Balei Tosfos are all about. Tosfos says, how can the Gemara here say like this? The Gemara somewhere else says, fakir. So Tosfos always tries to blend everything in together. That's the Balei Tosfos. And the Chachmei Svarad were much easier, they were much more relaxed. They said, it's a machlokes hasugyas, I'm sure. Astiris hasugyas. Just like over here, it's machlokes Reish Lakish and Abai Berovim. So maybe this sugya disagrees with that sugya. So Tosfos here asks, how come over here it's in a bayit leiv shita, and another gemara is it is a shita? So the Tosfos works everything together. No stiras. All gemaras fit in together. So the Tumim says he thinks that according to the Rambam, that's the attitude in general of the Chachmei Svarad. You don't have to push all the sugyas that they have to all agree with each other. You can have a stiras hasugyas and decide which sugya you're going to pass on. So he thinks that even though here it's in a bayit leiv shita, in other gemaras it is a shita, that it is good b'toras v'adai. Anyway, that's a shaila. The pashtus is not like the tumim. Even though he has a good kasha, how come the Rambam and the Mechaber didn't say mtofa say matzin oisem yodai? It sounds as if the Mechaber and the Rambam paskin that it's a good migu b'makom chazaka is good b'toras v'adai. Not that it's a sveika, not that it's a teiku d'mamayna l'kula, because I'm right to mechuel around. That's a question. Yeah, a good question. So the Gemara has on Davov and Aleph about 15 lines from the top. The line begins with the word Rabbonim. So the next word is Amale Ravach Beid Rabba Le Ravashi. One of the Amoraim says to the other one on the Shaila, whether Migu Mavakam Chazaka is good or not. So he says Toshma. Mana libi yotcha, I say, I lent you $100, pay me back. Ma'am alehen. He says, yes, I admit that I owe you the money, but I'm not going to. He admits. He doesn't say whether it's tochas man, lachas man. Hen means yes. Hen. Lemacha, the next day, amalot tenehi leuke. Yesterday you admitted that you owe me $100, pay me the money. So it depends, what is the answer? What's the response on the second day? Ma'am nesati vilach. If he says, I did pay you, I paid you since yesterday. Yesterday I admitted that I owe you the money, and since yesterday I paid you, so then he's never his potter. But if he says, Ein lecha biyadi, if he says, I don't owe you the money, then he's chayiv. What's the difference between nesati v'loch, ein lecha biyadi? So the Gemara says, my love, poshe pshat, it means like this. The sata v'lach means da malay praticha bizmani. I paid you after this man was higia. Means that yesterday you said, is it correct that I lent you $20,000? He said, yes, it's due tomorrow. And then tomorrow he comes and he says, yesterday you admitted you owed money. Where's the money? He said, Nasat, I gave you this money. I paid you the money this morning. Nasat ibloch. Nasat paraiticha bizmani. If he said, I paid you at the right time after the 5 years are up, so then it's good. But in the Sefer, that is ein lecha biyodi, that means amalei praticha betoch zmani. If he tainas, I paid you yesterday. Yesterday betoch hazman. Amalei praticha betoch zmani. Uktoni chayiv. So what do you see? That if you say paraiti betoch zmani, even though he has a migu, he could have said praticha lach hazmani. He could have said, I paid you today. But he says, not so. He says, I paid you yesterday. So you see, migu b'makom chazaka is no good. I'm a... But Malcolm Chazak, Alei Amin Amal of the Shaka. Amal of the Shaka means Migu. You don't say Migu. Why did the... Okay, so Gemara is going to be Matche. Gemara says, lo. That's not necessarily Pshat. How did the Gemara fit this into the words of the Braisa? Toshma. Let's read the Braisa again. Toshma. What does it say? Manali Biyotcha. One day he says, is it correct? He still owe me $100. He says, yeah, I owe you $100. Hen. Correct. Okay, yesterday you admitted you owe me $100, now it's time, pay me the money. So he said, Nesati lach patei zneman. He says, Ein lecha biyadi, I don't owe you the money. The Gemara says, that means praticha betoch zmani. How does that phrase correspond to praticha betoch zmani? Ein lecha biyadi. How does that correspond to praticha betoch zmani? The Gemara is going to reject it, that that's not... Look, the Gemara is going to say that's not what it means. The Gemara is going to give a different shot. But why did they think that in the first place? Ein lecha biyadi means praticha bizman, praticha betoch zmani. So I thought, just to explain the Havamina, this is rejected. The Gemara is going to reject this suggestion. But what was the initial suggestion in the first place? So I thought perhaps what it means is like this. In my mind, I have a mushal to this. There's a mitzvah of haprashas challah. So the din is, let's say I have five pounds of flour, and I pour in water in the flour. And it didn't turn into a dough yet. It didn't have any lisha yet. There is no isa. The word challah in Biblical Hebrew refers to the dough, refers to the raw dough. In Yiddish, we call, as a Yiddishism, as a slang expression, we refer to the, well, my mafresh challah. That's, in Chumash, that's called truma. It's not called challah. The challah is the raw dough. But the Tanaim refer to it as challah, losha miliyodim, in slang. We call the hafrosha, that in Biblical Hebrew is called truma. That's called challah. That's what we spoke the other day. That's why there's a shaila. What bracha did he say? If brachas have to be in Biblical Hebrew, then you shouldn't really say l'hafrish challah. Hafrish challah is a slang expression. You should really say al hafrashas truma. But the common practice is that women do say l'hafrish challah. That's the common nusach. So it means that you don't have to have brachas in Loshan HaTanah. That's a discussion in Hilchas Challah, in Yeridei. So the din is like this, Mishnah is like this. Mishas nesinas hamayim, when you mix the flour with the water, if you want, you can already be mafresh challah then. But if you eat it without being mafresh challah, you won't be chay misa b'day shemayim. Today, the whole din of challah, even Eretz Yisrael, is only midirabbanan. Challah schutz lortz is a dirabbanan on top of a dirabbanan. So that's why the Gemara M'chor is on top of Zion, has a whole blat Gemara, a whole list of kulas on top of kulas, a lot of kulas. Challah schutz lortz, because even challah in Eretz Yisrael is only midirabbanan. Challah b'chutz lortz, k'day shalot tishtakach mitzvah challah, we shouldn't forget the mitzvah. So it's a derabbanan on top of derabbanan. So a lot of kulas. But let's say, so there's no misa b'deish ha'mayim today. In chutz la'aretz for sure, not even in Eretz Yisrael, the challah is only b'derabbanan. But when you have real challah, b'zman in the days of Yishuv b'nun, the chiyuv of hafrashas challah was a din d'oraisa. So then if a person eats the bread, the cake or the cookies without being mafresh challah, there'll be a punishment on misa b'deish ha'mayim. So the Mishnah has, in Mishnah is challah, Mishnah has, you have the ability to be mafresh challah after nesinas hamayim, before the gilgul, before the timtum, before you made it into a big thick dough. But if you eat it before Gilgal or before Timtum, Gilgal is in Chitim and Timtum is in Sa'orim, but it means the same thing when you make a whole dough out of it. But if you eat it, there won't be Misa B'dei Shammai. But if you, after Gilgal, after Timtum, then if you eat it, then there's Misa B'dei Shammai. So there's a big machlokes of Rishonim, what is that all about? So some of the Rishonim say like this, Rabbeinu Soloveitchik has about this, if you mafresh chala after Nesinas Hamayim, just pour the water in, this prevents it from becoming tevel. It won't become tevel. It doesn't become tevel till it turns into a dough. So the hafrash haschala will prevent it from becoming tevel. Masheinikain, if it already did have gilgul, it already did have timtum, already turned into a dough, then it became tevel, then hafrash haschala takes off the yisit tevel, then it's mata the yisit tevel. So the pashta says, oh, that's in my mind, I thought of that marshal. So I thought over here, if the fellow says, nasati v'loch, that means I pay you, I made it piro, it means la'achazman, nasati v'loch, my lav, how does the Gemara say? My lav, nasati v'loch, damalei patir chavizmani, I made it tashlumen, I paid you after, yesterday was still terchazman, and today was the hagos hazman, so he says, I paid you today, I paid you this morning. Paraiticha bizmani, that's called nesati v'loch. But if it says ein lecha biyadi, there never was a chiyuv, means I paid you tochazman. If you pay tochazman, there's no shem piron. That's what I was explaining the other day. You can't make a piron bal korcha tochazman. According to some Rishonim, you can't make a piron bal korcha tochazman. Like a third party wants to make a piron bal korcha, he's not the loiva. So even the loiva himself, if it's tochazman, there's no shibir aguf. There's no shibir aguf, so you can't make a piron bal korcha. So if he makes a piroi in toich hazman, he prevents the chiyuv from setting in. When it comes to agos hazman, the whole shibir aguf just doesn't get off the ground. That's why the Gemara said, ein lecha biyodi means the chiyuv never got off the ground. There never was chal shibir aguf on me. Shibir aguf is only chal when it comes to agos hazman. So if he said, ein lecha biyodi, that means my love, damalei praticho v'tochzman. I paid you toich hazman, I prevented the whole chiyuv of the shibur aguf from being chal, and it says Ktoni the chayif, he's not believed over there. Alma b'makam chazok, I mean malashak. You see, migam b'makam chazok is no good. The Gemara says, "Lo, that's not what it means. That's not what it means." But I think that was the hava meaning. I think that was the hava meaning. The praticha b'toch zmani, the loshen applies ein lecha biyodi means there never was a chiyuv. Never was a chiyuv means I paid you toch hazman because the chi shibur aguf. It's only chal when it comes hagos hazman. So if you paid him tach hazman, it never came in the day kach. There never was a shibir aguf. So that's what he thought. My love, nesatichal, means I made a piro and I paid you achar hazman. Bizmani, after the hagos hazman. And ein lecha biyodi means I paid you tach hazman, so the shibir aguf never said it. Gemara says, loy, that's not necessarily what it means. What it means is like this. My ein lecha biyodi. He says, no, the hard one miyaylam. He says, I never owed you the money. What do you mean I never owed you the money? But yesterday he said, hen. Yesterday the malbeh confronted him. He said, I lent you $20,000 for 5 years, correct? And tomorrow is going to be hagos hazman. He said, yesterday he said, correct. And then today he says, the hard one miyaylam. How can he say the hard one miyaylam? So that's what Tosis asks, what's going on here? What's the pshat? So the Tosis kolay malo levisi kai malay paraiti. So Tosis says, I'm a re, the last 5 lines, I'm a re, pshat is like this. A lot of times, can't say a lot of times, sometimes, when you confront me and you say that I owe you $100,000, I say, you're off your mind. I don't owe you a penny. I never owed you a penny. I did owe you the money, but I paid you the money already. So sometimes I'll say, so if I keep on insisting, and then later on I say, what I meant was that you lent me the money and I paid it after Hagos Hazman. So if he kept on hacking, and then he changes his version, and that's time v'chayz of the time. Let's say, you say that I owe you money. And I say, no, I don't owe you money because of reason X, Y, Z. Then you bring witnesses and they say, that's not true. Then I change my version. I say, I put it for a different reason. Yeah, but that's not what I said originally. I gave a different reason. So that's Huchsak Shakran. The first thing that I said was not true. So that's a Shaila here. Is this called Huchsak Shakran? He said, Lahardwai Meyalam, today. Yesterday, the fellow confronts me and says, is it correct that I lent you $20,000 and it's due tomorrow? Don't forget. I say, yes. In front of Adam, I say, yes, correct. It's due tomorrow. Then comes tomorrow, and he says, where's the $20,000? What do you mean? I never borrowed $20,000. But I myself said yesterday, I did buy it. Today, I keep it. I never borrowed the money. Then I say, no, that's what I meant. And the Bezin says, what do you mean you never borrowed the money? You said yesterday, the witnesses came in and said, you did. You said yesterday, you said you owe him the money. Yeah, what I said, I meant that I paid him. So that's not a good explanation. That's toin l'chayzav toin who's huchsak shakran. He can't reinterpret. Tamash malan that if he says l'hardvam yolam, that's the same as saying lo lavise and loy paraiti. And today, if he says paraiti, he's ain enema. That's the pshat of the gemara. There are a lot of gemaras about that. When if a person originally, if the toveya presents it, he says you owe me money, and the nitva says I don't owe you money because of reason A. And then they bring witnesses. Reason A is false. Then he says, no, I meant B. So can B fit into what he said? A? Or is it a totally different version? It's a totally different story. Then he's a huchsak shakran, so you don't believe him. He's just trying to get away with paying the money. But if it's reasonable to say that that's what he meant, even though he said, lahadam, 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 the whole thing is a lie. If he says, let's say today, he says, you say, give me the $20,000. I say, it's a lie. You say, I lent you $20,000, and it's a gear husband. I say, it's a lie. What's a lie? I just said, it's a lie. Then they bring witnesses that I myself said yesterday, yes, I owe you money. I said, yeah, it's a lie that you want to collect the money. I don't owe you money. I paid you the money. I paid you the money this morning. What more do you want? So maybe you can't fit in. If I say it's a lie, maybe it means that you're a liar. You're trying to collect the second time. It depends how did I word it. But if I say, I never borrowed the money, then I'm going to reinterpret what I meant to say. I borrowed the money. I meant that I paid it already today. That doesn't, you can't reinterpret lahadam to mean that paraiti. And sometimes it depends. If he says it's not true, sometimes it's not true means not true that you have a taina. If he says it's not, you come to me today, say, give me the $20,000, I say, not true. What's not true? Then later on, next month, not true, I don't owe you the money because I paid you already. Okay, then it is a good way to interpret. He got so upset when the guy's asking for the money. He says, I already paid you the money. So if he would have said, not true or something like that, it's a lie. So then he probably can reinterpret and say, what I meant was that paraiti. But if he says, I never borrowed the money, and then he's going to reinterpret what I meant was that I paid already today, then it's huchsak shakran and you don't believe it. So there are a lot of details about this in Lashon B'nei Adam. When can you reinterpret what you said and say that's what I meant and when not? There's a Mishnah Shnayis and Krisis about this and in Bava Metzia. Different Gemaras all over the place. And the Mordechai has a lot of details here. When is it Toyin L'chazi V'Toyin? When can he interpret that that's what he meant all along? Okay, that is this Gemara. Maybe we'll start the next Gemara. Okay. The next Gemara talks about the details of the case. That Makim Schaver Megimel Ruchais, and then the fellow demonstrates that he's happy about it. He nana from the fact that he make him pay. So the Shadows over here also something similar. He made a kaisel, and I demonstrate that I am using it. But I only demonstrate I'm using part of it. So do I have to pay Kenegat Kula? No, so that's a detail machlokes. Okay. So then the Gemara has, after that, then the Gemara has, you have the letter Gimel in parentheses here, from the Bach. Amram Nachman, a new Gemara. Achzik lehurdi, lo achzik lekshui. Lekshui achzik lehurdi. What a hurdi and kshui. So Rashi says, you have a wall that you paid for. I wasn't obligated to chip it. You have a wall. And then I leave beams on the wall. Sometimes I'm using your wall partially. And you never said anything against it. So that's Cheskas, and I claim that you gave me permission to use it the Yom Kippur. That's what Rashi says. Rashi quotes a Mishnah. I don't know, you can't hear it. It's probably the Rashbam, because it says at the end, Ad Kan. Apparently this is a Rashbam. Some of these are Rashi, some of these were added by the Rashbam. The line begins with the parentheses, Daf Mem Aleph. Kol Chazokah Shenimatayin Eina Chazokah. That's in Cheskas Habatim. Cheskas Habatim is when I claim the house belongs to me. We know that you are the Marakama. We know for sure the house used to belong to you. And now, I've been living in the house for 3 years, or we know the farm belonged to you, and I've been working on the farm the last 3 years, and I have witnesses who can testify to that effect, and it looks to them like I was using the house. It didn't seem that I was hiding out from anybody. It seems that I was using the house and using the farm in a normal fashion. So that's a din of cheskas habatim sholoshan. So what's a din of cheskas habatim? So the Mishnah says, kahozak v'shanimatayin eina chazoka. I can't just say squatter's rights. In America, there's a rule of squatter's rights. If I'm using you, if I'm living in your apartment, I have no time. I don't claim that you gave me permission. I was just living there, and you didn't evict me. So you can't evict me. You're stuck with me. You can't evict me, son. Halacha, there is no such thing. I have to have a chazaka, shieshi matayna. I have to taina. I bought the house from you, or I bought the farm from you. And then the fact, so you say, if it's true that I bought the farm, how come I don't have a shtar? The meaning of din is whenever you sell real estate, when you sell a dozen eggs, and when you sell 3 pounds of oranges or something like that, you don't fill out a shtar. You just pay by credit card, you pay by cash, and you walk away. But if you buy real estate, you always write a shtar. So the guy says, where's your shtar? So I said, I used to have a shtar, and after 3 years, you don't have to keep, how long do they have to keep your tax forms? 5 years or something? They keep on. So after a couple of years, you throw out all, you're going to have a house full of all the stores, all the canceled checks. I'm married 55 years, I'm going to keep all the checks from the last 50, I won't have any room in the house. So after a couple of years, you throw everything out, you rip everything up, you throw it all out. So the guy says, how long do I have to hold on to the shtar for 3 years? Then I threw it out and show you. So if he can prove that he was living there for 3 years, it didn't seem that he was hiding, and he has a taina. He says that I bought it from you. So then he's neman. So Rashi says, just like you need cheskas habatim misholoshanim, you have to have a taina. And if you just taina squatter's rights, I moved in and nobody said anything. So I can't claim that the house belongs to me. You have to have chazaka sheishim taina. So Rashi says, here we're not talking about the fellow, we're not talking about cheskas habatim. Not that I claim the house is mine. I say the house, that house is yours and the wall is yours. This house is mine, the wall is yours. But I say I was leaning my beams on your wall for a long, long time. And now I want to change beams. I had a swing, and there was a beam that held up the swing, so the children played on the swings. So now I want to put a heavier beam. I want to put a lighter beam, whatever. One of these is lighter than the other. Shuri and Hurdi, one is light and one is heavy. So Rashi says, here you don't need Shalashanim. Here you don't need Shalashanim, because you only need Cheskabatim Shalashanim. Here it's Miyad. Rashi proves from the Gemara on Amid Beis that it's Miyad, and Taisus on Amid Beis repeats the same thing. Here, the third Taisus on Amid Beis. Amar Rabbeinu Shmuel, that's the Rashbam, that we're talking over here. The Chazok is the Leah, Lab Shalashanim. Maybe it's the Rashbam. Probably is the Rashbam. It says Atkan. So that's the Rashbam that Taisus is quoting. You don't need Shalashanim over here. But the Rashi writes on Amaral, the Rashi, the Rashbam, whoever it is, he writes that you do need a taina. The fella can't just taina. I had my beam here for the last 3 years, and I had the swing, and the children were playing on it. Now the beam is old, and I want to put a different beam, a lighter beam, a heavier beam than the old one. So Rashi said, that's not a taina. Just like a cheska batim has to be chazaka sheishim a taina, so to we call this cheskas tashmishim. You also have to have a chazaka sheishim a taina. After taina, I pay you, or you gave me permission, le'olam void, to leave my beam over there. That's what Rashi writes. So you look, when the Rambam quotes this din, the Rambam never says that. You have to have a taina, and the Magen Mishnah writes on the Rambam, that the Rambam seems to be following the Shitas HaGoinim, that you don't need a taina. So that's what I want to talk about. Okay, we got to start tomorrow with that. What's the machlokes of here? Good.
Wait, you don't need a tiny nor a chazaka at all?
You don't need a tiny.